In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I was preparing for doing a homily or a sermon today. I went back through the readings. And one of the things that I noticed as I looked at the readings is there's something called the collect of the day. Now, I know first thing in the morning, we kind of go through a few things as we start our liturgy. But just before we sit down to hear the readings, we say this collect of the day. And I don't know how all of you are, but sometimes I'm really not paying too much attention to the words. I hear them, but I'm not necessarily listening. So I'd like to read back to you what Father just read, because it really caught my attention as I was preparing for the sermon. And this is the collect of the day for Prophet 8. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, this is the part that caught my attention. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable through you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Those terms, unity and spirit, really caught my attention. So I thought, let me do a little Bible search online and just see how often unity and spirit is mentioned. Well, over 20 times, guys. And one of the things I've learned about Holy Scripture is that when you keep running across something time and time again, there's a theme there that God is trying to share with us. And the theme is that we are one in Christ. And my friends in the AV Bill are going to help me out today by putting up that slide. Do we have that slide? There we have it, one in Christ. That's a reminder of who we are. And this idea of the unity in spirit really, really, truly tells us about that. So let me share a few of those Bible readings with you. Now, I don't have a Bible with me in my hand, because I would probably not be able to juggle two books. So I made a copy of this, but I want to read to you a few readings that kind of emphasizes this thought. The first one comes from the Gospel according to John. And at this point in time, it's just before he's getting ready to go to the cross. And he's preparing his disciples for the very fact of what he's going to have to encounter. But more importantly, he's praying to God about their unity, and this is what it says. Father, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So there we hear Jesus saying that he and the Father are one, and he is praying to the Father that we may be brought into that same oneness that he has with the Father. Think about that. Then if you start to go through some of the letters, 1 Peter, finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Certainly words that we should be hearing today. And then in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he said, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. You see, there's a consistency that is happening here. Now, in Paul's letter to the Romans, he talks about this a lot. The first one, he said, is live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Do not be conceited. And then again in Romans, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You get the picture? God has spoken to us about our oneness. That's not what we hear in the newspapers. That's not what we hear in TV. But the Word of God is telling us we truly are one with each other. And to go on a little bit further, in Romans, he says, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, in the letter to the Ephesians, he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. And then finally, one other reading that I want to share with you, because again, I think this really speaks to us today. In Galatians, he tells his friends in Galatia that there is neither Jew or Greek, or slave or free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. So it is in this one in Christ, this whole idea of the one in Christ, that many things are done. And looking at the epistle reading this morning from 2 Corinthians, there's a backstory here to kind of help you understand what was being said. And the backstory is that in the early days, as Paul was going out to the Gentiles and converting people, the question came, well, shouldn't they be circumcised? Shouldn't they become Jews first? And Paul said, this is just too much of a weight to put on these people. So he went back to Jerusalem and met with James and John and Peter. And they said, you know, you're right. But one thing we do need from you, we need these people to make a contribution for the poor in Jerusalem. So that's what Paul was talking about to 2 Corinthians today. It was a reminder to them that they had made a commitment in their unity and spirit to do something for the poor in Jerusalem. So his letter this morning was an encouragement to complete what they committed to do in the first place. So that was what was going on behind that letter this morning that we heard. I'd like to talk a little bit more about what the unity in spirit looks like here today. And if I can ask my friends to put up a slide. Do you recognize this? Yeah, 2 weeks ago, right? Vacation Bible School. We had 80 young people here. That's amazing. God is doing something very dramatic in this place. Things are happening, sometimes without us really noticing it, but as we look around, we see a whole new life beginning here at Holy Innocence. Now, one of the things that they did, one of their first tasks that they were given, was to make what I will call a quilt. I don't know if you can see that very well. Can you? Yeah, okay, you get the idea. Each child or each young person was asked to just do something on their own, just kind of whatever they felt like putting on for design. But what we have is we have 80 individual pieces of who they are all joined together in one quilt, if you will. And what that came to me is the unity in the diversity of those young people that were there. Now, let's just take a look at maybe a small portion of that. So here's four of them together. And you can see these kids kind of hid their own little design, whatever was on their minds, whatever they felt like putting down. But do you see some unity in those four? The cross of Christ. They knew what they were here for. And as you look at the broader quilt, there are many, many different ones that had the same idea with the cross of Christ in there. So there was a unity in that. And if I can bring the, yes, great. So that brings me up with the next point, which is, what are some of the other things here at Holy Innocence that we can talk about where we are united, one in Christ? And it's many of our mission and outreach things that we do here. Yesterday, we had our feeding ministry, what we call Transforming Lives in Christ. And it takes 58 people, or there are slots for 58 volunteers to help out in that. Now, we don't always get those 58. Some people put up signs, other people prepare food, some cook big cookies, others actually pack stuff together. And then there's a group that goes out by the church, out here by the chapel, they greet the guests as they come through to receive the meals. And the first thing we do is we greet them and thank them for coming. And then we ask them if there's anything that they would like to have prayers for. And you'd be surprised at some of the stories that we hear. And then finally, we offer them whatever number of meals that they would like to have. And by the way, we also do the same thing at San Jose Mission up in Dover, where families of migrant farm workers live. And although it's a little difficult for us to speak Spanish, a few of us have learned a couple of words, enough to ask a question of how many meals they want. But we do the same thing there. So we make 450 meals. That's a lot of work. But it is a way of us living out what Christ has asked us to do in this community. Just to share a couple of the stories we heard yesterday. One was a man who came through about a month ago and said he needed prayers for his future daughter-in-law, who was for her dad. Her dad was in the intensive care unit with COVID on a ventilator and wanted to walk his daughter down the aisle for the wedding. And yet here he was on a ventilator, and they asked us for prayers. 3 days later, he was out of the intensive care unit and walked his daughter. We hear a number of stories when people come back and tell us about how things have worked out. Also, on the other hand, sometimes we hear some very difficult things that we have to talk to people for and just to be there to listen. And one of them was a person who has come before, brought meals to a family that was very destitute, and the wife had died. And the husband, in deep desperation, committed suicide. But we were here today, we were here to hear that story. We were here to share that person's sorrow and yet to do that prayer with them. So that is one of the places where we are united in Christ. In fact, what I'd like to say is maybe we can make an imaginary quilt like we saw that those young people put together. We can make an imaginary quilt of each one of us. Each one of us having a piece that we would put in there. And what would be on our piece? Just who we are in Christ. What are the gifts that God has given us that we can use in this community? What is it that gives us love and care for one another? That would be what would be in that imaginary quilt. And by the way, there's a quilt there for a lot of other of our ministries here. There's a quilt for the Rachel's Guild. There's a quilt for the Meals on Wheels program. There's a quilt for every one of our missions there, a quilt made up of the people who have volunteered for doing that. But there's one thing I can tell you about those quilts. They're not complete. There's usually empty spaces for others to come. And if you feel a calling to join any one of these ministries, that space in the quilt is waiting for your piece to put in it. And I ask you to come to either the person who heads that ministry or to Father Brian or to myself and say, I want to be a part of that. Because there are some dramatic things happening here at Holy Innocence. I want to remind you of one thing. This goes back to baptism. You know, at baptism we see all of the normal stuff. The water is blessed, and then we pour the water over the child or the young person or the person. And that seems to be our focus. But after the water is poured, one of the most important things is done, and maybe we miss it. The priest or the bishop takes a special oil known as the oil of chrism. It's olive oil that's had a little chrism added to it, but it's done especially for this purpose. And they take and they mark the person on the forehead and said, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and you are Christ's own forever. So all of us belong to Christ. We are one in Christ. And we are Christ's bearers. Wherever we go, wherever we work, in our families, come to church, worshiping together, we are all Christ's bearers. And we're given that opportunity to bring his love and compassion out to the world that we live in. So I'd like to close this reflection with you again with that prayer that I started with, but I'd like us to read that prayer together. And let's see if we can get that up on the wall so we can see it. There we go. So let us pray this together. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.